So good going on. We're going to try this. My phone only gives me two bars right now, and so I'll be honest with you. We've made contingency plans. If video freezes up, and who cares about the video, to be perfectly honest with you. I'm not going to be showing you anything on this one, so it's just a talking head. But the audio holds on, then we'll throw the banner up and just call it good and keep going. We'll see. Just where we are, I'm graciously staying with one of the families in Grace Bible Church. They have a full RV hookup, so that's where I am. But we are out in the boonies. We are out, and in fact, there's a you turn left, and so I'm following the GPS to get here, and you turn left. There is a hill in front of you that it's that kind of hill. Honestly, even when you're not pulling 9,000 pounds behind you, where you get up to the top and you cannot see what's on the other side. It's just whoa! It's a steep one. I'm not sure I can get up on my bike. I'm thinking it could be pushing 20%. I'd be interested. I haven't tried it. I didn't bring my wheels to ride my bike outside anyways, but if I had, I'd be really tempted just to see. I wonder if I can even get up this thing. And I went very slowly down the side too. I can assure you of that. But anyway, you don't care about any of that. I'm just telling you, what may or not happen. So we're out in the hills, in rural Arkansas, and therefore we will see. But it's a beautiful place, beautiful home, nice folks, and here's where we are. Really quickly, we're in the middle of a mini conference here at the Grace Bible Theological Seminary in Conway, Arkansas, and I got to have a dinner with Jeffrey Johnson and some other folks last night, and we got to talk about the splash his book on Thomas Aquinas has made. I've talked to a number of folks who I've talked with Jeffrey and with Owen Strand about the concern that we all share about this sudden fascination with Thomism in amongst Reformed people. And I'll be honest with you, I had lunch with Dr. Strand today. It was a wonderful time. And outdoors, got a little warm at one point, but outdoors, we had to keep, for some reason, I think there was a fire station nearby or something, but the fire trucks went by like three or four times. It's like, as they're going by. But, I said to Owen, I said, I really have to wonder if this is a symptom of people just not finding satisfaction in what we all thought was so satisfying and would be satisfying for life. In reference to the doctrines of the faith regarding God's sovereignty and the nature of grace and things like that. And maybe people are looking for something new and, oh, this looks new. This looks exciting. There are some real zealous folks that are just, I don't know, view Thomas in a odd fashion. They can somehow disconnect him from all of his errors, and they're just so fascinated by his great intellect. And it's like, oh, okay, all right. Well, anyway, they're all connected. You got it. How he got to what he believed about God is an issue. And so, anyways, we'll probably be talking more about that in the future. Maybe I'll have Jeff on to talk about his book because he's been taking lots and lots of heat. And I'm like, yeah, I know how that works. And so, anyways, having a great time here. In Conway, and we'll be speaking this evening. Dr. Strand speaks before I do, and then I'll be the. Oh no, back that up. I'm the first one to speak. I need to keep that in mind, so I need to be there right on time, or maybe a little bit early. He's the first one. I'm the first one to speak. He's going to be the second one to speak this evening. There is a live stream. Gene Clyatt was posting the stream last night, so I'm not sure. I don't have the link myself or even really where to look, but if you look up Grace Bible Theological Seminary live stream conference, maybe something will come up. I don't know. But I will be doing, I did Sola Fide and Sola Gratia last night. I'll be doing Solus Christus, and then he will be doing Soli Deo Gloria. And so we'll go from there. And then tomorrow I'll be in Jonesboro, and I'll be speaking at 2 p.m. Arkansas time. And then I think the other one was at 6 or 6:30. I don't remember. Rich says gbcconway.com is where you can get the link to watch the stuff tonight. So if you want to do that, there you go. Like I said, I'll be in Jonesboro tomorrow. And I don't know if Rich put up, I think you, Rich put something up about that on our stuff as to where that's going to be. I'm going to be doing, if I recall correctly, something on the Trinity and on Reformed theology. I think that's the order, something around those lines. And the live link will be on Facebook. Live link for tonight or tomorrow? I'm not sure which that will be. Tomorrow. So there will be a live link to the stuff from Jonesboro tomorrow. And then, of course, next morning up uber early. And I've not had confirmation that there's, I haven't gotten back confirmation that there is specifically going to be something going on late, like 8 to 9:30 on Wednesday at G3. But there might be, and I hope to have confirmation fairly quickly. Well, I need to have confirmation one way or the other. I will try to make it. Lord willing, the Greek don't rise and the Russians don't drop the bomb. That used to be how we put it. Now it's the Chinese. Go from there. So there we go. There's what's going on. And that's not even looking after G3. And we're going to try. That's what Rich wants to try to do. And I don't know. Everybody's doing this now. But Rich wants to try to do a dividing line from G3. And, you know, I suppose we could have folks stop by the booth and jump in and say hi and do things like that. Might work out. I don't know. I speak on Friday. So Thursday afternoon would be the time to do that, because I'm not staying at the venue. I'm staying elsewhere. And I've been told that I do not want to be trying to drive from where I'm staying to the venue in the morning or during rush hour in the evening. So I need to like come in like noonish if I'm going to not want to just be sitting around and smelling everybody else's tailpipes, basically. So we'll see how all that's going to work out. And then that's not even thinking about being down in Valparaiso, Niceville area in Florida, and then Lafayette, and then Lindale, Texas, with Maker from Texas. I have really lined out the trip, and I do want to really, really thank someone. I don't want to use names and stuff, but on the way out, I had felt a little something in the truck. It was in an extreme situation, going down a 7% grade on a rough road. And I just wanted to have it checked out. I think that's wise to do. Safety first, as they always say. Not safism, but if you feel something and can get it checked out. And so this morning I took the truck out to a gentleman who is a member of the church. And I just enjoy meeting people who really know their stuff. You know what I mean? That really know what they're doing. And I felt really comfortable with these guys because, let's just say they know GMC trucks really well. And that's what I'm driving is a GMC truck. And you could just tell this guy knows this vehicle like the back of his hand. And they checked the brakes out and stuff and basically said, this thing looks like it just drove off the showroom floor. That's how good a shape that it's in. And that gives me a lot of confidence, you know, when I hit those hills, going up or down, that everything, you know, checked everything out. And I'm just really thankful for people who know what they're doing. And I'm not going to follow this topic very far. I'm seeing the sun's going to be coming in here pretty soon. And it's going to be hitting. Hold on just one second. There we go. All right. The sun was going to be hitting the camera, because I forgot my camera. And next week I'll have a new camera that Rich is going to bring for me. But I'm using my laptop right now, and I could see the angle of the sun was eventually going to be causing us some issues. Anyway, I just really appreciate people who know what they're doing. And man, I think we've made just such a huge mistake in this country. We don't encourage young men to go into trades where they can learn to do the stuff that we need to have done. And, it is worthwhile work to work with your hands. And there are certain people who are just really good at it. And when you're not really good at it, though, I did fix one little problem on the truck. It wasn't something went wrong with the truck. It was someone didn't tighten something down when they installed something. And Rich will tell you, I sort of figured it out. I got under that hood and I found what hadn't been tightened down and I tightened it down and it fixed everything and the truck likes me and it stopped throwing all these messages at me like your truck's about to stall and everything else. Like, yes. So I used to do that back when we didn't make enough money to buy anything but used cars that had 180,000 miles on them. I used to have to do stuff like that. I remember just blowing my back out horribly trying to, what was I doing? I was replacing a steering wheel. I don't know why I had to take the steering wheel off. Oh, it had something to do with the ignition switch had gone bad. That's right. And I was trying to push that thing back on. I just totally blew my back out. Oh, the great days of yesteryear. Anyway, why am I even talking about these things? We have other things to talk about, but I'm very thankful for the service that the folks have given to me here. And it's exciting and getting to meet all sorts of folks again last night afterwards, people who've been delivered out of various of the groups that we deal with and have been following the dividing line. It is funny, though, I have to admit, when people say, oh, I've been watching the Dividing Line for years. I started like in 2015 and I just wilt. It's like, that was just a few years ago. I've been doing this since the 1980s, you know? It's like, I'm not upset they say that. It's just sort of like, wow, I'm getting old, been doing this a long time, you know? And, but it's great to meet everybody. And yes, we're shaking hands and the whole nine yards. I mean, look, folks, if I don't come down, because I don't know whether I've had COVID or not. I've not been tested in any way. If I don't get it, prep, I can't get it. That's just all there is to it. I mean, G3 and here and Jonesboro. I mean, seriously, how many times can you be exposed to something and it doesn't touch you, you know? So who knows? We could find out what it's all about, given everything that's going on. So, I have not been able to be much on social media for obvious reasons. When you're speaking and you're meeting with folks and, setting up and breaking down and traveling and driving and everything else, sort of makes it difficult to, keep up with whatever the current stuff is. But, I did see, I did see, I'm trying to make, you know how you save a tweet, you don't want it to move, and then as soon as you bring it up, all of a sudden there's an ad or something like that gets in the way. Matt Estes on Twitter posted a poll from Leighton Flowers. Now, I think it was the week before I left. I saw a video from Leighton Flowers about Matthew 23:37. Is James White right about Matthew 23:37? And I responded to it. The key issue, of course, is there is an objective meaning to Matthew 23:37 exegetically. And you can make, you can then go from that to go do your interpretation and application. But if you don't do the exegesis first, everything else is just speculation. And we pointed out in the response that everything that I had said about Matthew 23:37 is factually and exegetically true. There really isn't any question about it. There isn't any, and Leighton had gone so far as to say that the direct object of gathering in Matthew 23:37 doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. And you're just like, here again, you get the illustration of what happens when you have a system. The system determines what scripture can and cannot say. You're not deriving it from the text. You're getting it from other sources, whatever those sources might be. It could be what you think is ancient tradition. It can be your necessary defense of the goodness of God, whatever you might think that it is. But you're not getting it from the text. And so we responded rather fully to the video. And so he puts up a poll, and here's what he writes. I have a dilemma. Now let's remember something here. Here's a man who has a YouTube channel where 98% of all the videos have something to do with something he doesn't believe. It's not positive demonstrations of the doctrine of the Trinity. It's not positive defenses of the inerrancy of Scripture. It's not positive material on the resurrection. No. 98%, just go look at it yourself, is about something he doesn't believe, that he thinks is wrong. And these are not short videos. Well, there's a few in there. He eventually started doing, somebody finally convinced him he needed to start doing something 3 hours long. A lot of them are 3 hours long. And they're highly repetitive. I mean, you listen to six of his videos and you've got it all down, because there's only so many variations on one note that you can come up with. And so here's someone. There is absolutely no balance here. None whatsoever. So, I have a dilemma. I have had many over the years tell me that my responses to Dr. James White have really helped them see the errors of Calvinism. They have encouraged me to continue to defend our perspective from his arguments. Okay, so I stop. So, my argument. So, the idea is we poor folks, you know, we provisionists, that mean James White, he's always attacking us. Okay, look at our YouTube channel. And you will find responses to Leighton Flowers, most definitely. But they are a small minority of what we do. The vast majority of what we're talking about today has nothing to do with Leighton Flowers. Right now, Leighton Flowers is sort of a vacation from having to deal with the craziness of the woke church. And I don't know if he addresses that at all, to be honest with you. I'd be interested in whether he does or doesn't. I don't know how you can not address it. But anyway, so, you know, we're being attacked, and he's, and Leighton defends our perspective from his arguments. The only arguments I've presented against it are based in listening to this perspective trying to find its way, trying to define itself, and responding to that. But I've had some respected friends say something in the effect of, James White is not a good faith interlocutor, and I think you should just ignore him. Okay. I've had people say the exact same thing to me about Leighton Flowers. Just ignore him. He's never going to listen to what you have to say, and so just ignore him. To which I respond, well, I know he's never going to listen to what I have to say, but other people do. So he says, I will say that each time I've replied to White's broadcast, I've increased in subscribers and get a surge in messages of new converts out of Calvinism. There you go. Converts out of Calvinism. Let me tell you something. Well, let me finish that. But at the same time, I do not wish to promote disingenuous methods of theological discourse among the brethren. I'd like to know your thoughts on the matter. The poll question, respond kindly to his arguments or ignore him completely. And Matt's thing says, the poll is currently 87% respond and 13% ignore. And Matt said, what are the chances that Leighton Flowers ever intended to ignore me, James White, completely, given James White seems to be the only reason Soteriology 101 exists at all? Why else would anyone watch Leighton's videos? Well, yeah, that's a good question. But the evangelism that Leighton Flowers does is anti-Calvinism evangelism. That's what he wants, converts out of Calvinism. It has never crossed my mind to actually have as a goal converts out of provisionism. I have responded to all of the provisionists, whether they be Southern Baptist leaders, attacking the atonement, promoting a denial of original sin. Remember that stuff, which resulted in our doing the extensive discussion of Romans 5. And a lot of people found that extremely helpful to do that. Or whatever else it might be. Now, if the Lord uses his truth to ground someone more firmly in their faith, and that means that they see that provisionism, you know, I sort of mentioned it in passing last evening in my presentation. I said, there is all the world of difference between saying Christ died to provide a way of salvation and saying that Christ died to actually accomplish salvation. There's all the difference in the world to say that Jesus tries to save, or say that Jesus is the Savior, that he actually saves perfectly. There's a massive difference, and it impacts all of theology. It impacts all of evangelism. It is a major issue. We can't just sweep it under the rug. And obviously, my desire would be that someone who really wants to believe the word will do so consistently. But I don't even function on the basis of the idea of converts. I mean, I would expect that the vast majority of quote unquote provisionists are sincere Christians who have simply been hobbled in their theology by a human tradition. And if I can be used, as we have, I've talked to many a person who went, yeah, I got into Leighton stuff, but man, then I listened to you. And so we both have our stories of people who have said, okay. And I can't tell you how many people have looked at the Romans 9 debate and gone, he actually won that? And I'm just like, okay, well, whatever, you know, so we all have our stories, but entire weeks will go by in my life, maybe months, where I never even think of Leighton Flowers. I don't subscribe to his stuff. I don't listen to his stuff. The only reason I said last week, the only reason I responded to that video he did on Matthew 23:37 was because I was following somebody else's link on a completely different topic. I think it was on the, it wasn't on Thomas Aquinas stuff. Anyway, a completely different topic. And y'all know how YouTube works. There's all that stuff in the right-hand column. And Rich was telling me, this is an interesting addition, Rich was telling me that he was looking up some information about where I'm going to be tomorrow. And so he threw in, there's the Rona, so he threw in, actually, I'm in the forest. Oh, and by the way, I know, I'm all over the place. It is beautiful to be in the forest, and last night, I pulled in late after, you know, greeting people after talking, after the sermon and stuff, and I pull in here, and of course, it's pretty dark, you know, you're out away from the town and stuff like that. Sky was gorgeous. Jupiter's up. By the way, if you want to see Jupiter and Saturn, they're up. As soon as the sun goes down, you can see them right now, and they're gorgeous. Well, they're always gorgeous. They've always been gorgeous. God created them to be that way. We're supposed to be fascinated by that stuff. Those of you who live in cities, get your head out of the video game. Go look at some stars. It'll do your mind good. But I pulled up. I turned the truck off. And I pulled up next to the unit here. And I get out of the truck, and I close the door, and I'm like, the sound. Oh, man. But the sound of the crickets and the cicadas and whatever else is running around in this forest was overwhelming. It was incredible. You just don't hear that kind of stuff. Well, in a desert, anywhere. There's just not enough live stuff to do it. But just the sound of life. It was awesome. I had some window. I love the sound of wind in trees. But the sound was overwhelming. It was really, really cool. The only thing I guess it's just not the right season. I guess it's too late. But I would love to have seen some fireflies because that was something that was great in my youth. Anyway, back to what we're talking about. So, this whole, the purpose of why you're doing what you're doing and to have balance. So, I honestly feel sorry for Leighton Flowers. I really do, because I just can't see how having a continuous focus on being against something and to try to get converts out of the system that gave us Sola Scriptura and Sola Fide and Sola Deo Gloria and to actually be, and I don't think he must be consciously aware of this. He has to be consciously aware of the fact that he's promoting a view of man and God that was exactly what Luther argued against with Erasmus, and was Luther wrong? When he said that this was the hinge upon which it all turns, the central point, I guess he must think that he was, or maybe he doesn't. I don't know. But it must be such a, it can't be a satisfying thing to define your evangelism as getting some confused person, because you have to be really confused and have a significantly less than solid understanding of Reformed theology to find Leighton Flowers' arguments to be at all compelling. You really, really would. I don't know. But I don't know how anyone... It's sort of like when I talk with converts from Roman Catholicism. It's like, so you really feel that what you've been exposed to and what you've been taught is sufficient basis for you to abandon the possession of the imputed perfect righteousness of Christ to where now you are on this endless treadmill of penances and sacramental forgiveness and everything else. And you will eventually stand before God with this cobbled together righteousness of the righteousness of Jesus and Mary and the saints and yourself. And I've never had one of these converts give me any kind of meaningful response, which demonstrated they never truly understood the glory of what it means to understand anything other than just a bare definition of justification and the imputed righteousness of Christ and what that means and how it's related to your union with Christ and everything else. And so their willingness to give up that rich, full fabric of Christian theology for a really cheap substitute just leaves me stunned. And the same way, if you don't understand that the decree of God and the prescriptive will of God is a part of this beautiful tapestry, that it's a beautiful thing that God has chosen to interact with his people in time, and that he's big enough to do that, and that that flows from his decree, and that it glorifies him, and that the truth we see in Scripture is not a flat, shallow, two-dimensional, built on the model of man type of thing, but it shouldn't be just something we debate about. It should be something that we are constantly in awe about, to recognize that the eternal creator of this vast universe is glorifying himself by interacting with his creatures. And I'm also concerned about the people who are going so far in a certain direction in theology that they have a problem with the idea of God actually interacting with his creatures. Because the greatest interaction of all time is called the incarnation. And that incarnation was just the central aspect of God's self-revelation to his creatures and the demonstration of his love toward those creatures in redemption. And that shouldn't be something we just argue about. It should be something that every day you give thanks for. And to trade that for provisionism? For modern, cleaned up, semi-Pelagianism? Okay, whatever. So, yeah. Okay, so, there it is. Rich told me he's searching for some information about where I'm going to be tomorrow. Was this in, what was this in? Was this in, this come up in Google, Facebook? Because I don't really recognize DuckDuckGo. Wow. Okay. So, he's searching for Christian Reformed churches in Jonesboro. Okay, says Yellow Pages now. All right. Yellow Pages was the response. Okay. Anyway, up comes ads. We all get ads, don't we? Well, it's got an ad blocker, but still, sometimes they sneak around all that stuff. Or they won't let you use the site if you have ad blocker activated. And here is the bottom of the third, well, the bottom of the three ads. Questioning Calvinism, ad, so it says this is an advertisement, www.soteriology101.com. Soteriology podcast taught by a former Calvinistic professor. Okay, so that means they are spending money to evangelize Calvinists. Now, I'm sorry. I don't think that Leighton Flowers was ever a Calvinistic professor. I have had far too many people who knew him in the years when he was allegedly Reformed who told me the man never, ever functioned on a meaningful basis of Reformed theology. Never. But I don't think he was a professor back then anyways. Or if he was, where was he a professor at? He's a professor now, but I think it's highly misleading to call yourself a former Calvinistic professor. You might be a professor now, but where did you teach Reformed theology? Show us the books that you wrote. Show us the articles that you wrote that were consistently Reformed. I'd be interested in seeing that. And then let's maybe start bringing all those people in who have contacted me. I remember talking with a guy on the phone for like 45 minutes. I was between planes in Atlanta. I remember exactly where it was. And this guy had worked with Layton during those years. And he's like, no way. Absolutely no way. But it's meant to be, here's a professor. Here's a scholar. And he was a Calvinistic scholar and now he's not. Come to Soteriology 101. So Rich, could you put in a signal here? How much we've spent on advertising the dividing line, and trying to get provisionist converts. Could you put the number in for me? Cause you're the numbers man. And so I'd like to get everybody to know what we've spent. He says, thinking, gotta add it up. Zero. Yeah, I knew that was what was coming. Yeah, that's also what we've spent to promote the dividing line for everything, pretty much. Zero. And people ask, how do you get away with that? Because we started this stuff. We were podcasting before there was a pod. Okay? Because we were so poor. You know? I've told the story before. We were on a radio station and they started doing real audio and we just recognized we're on Saturday. Who listens to the radio on Saturday? Saturday afternoon. You're watching football or you're asleep. So, we're spending, what was it? It was, back then it was like 700, I think it was like 700 some odd dollars per month for a local radio station. And all of our phone calls were coming from the internet. When we'd open the phones, we wouldn't get local calls. We got people who were listening on real audio. Yeah, real audio. This is like the year 2000, okay? We're talking coming up on a quarter century ago. And all of a sudden we got the idea, why can't we just do this ourselves? And so, we bought a microphone and screwed it into my desk, you know, had the arm on it. And, Rich was on one side of the wall in his garage and I was on the other side of the wall in his garage. And that's, for example, where we did the very first Radio Free Geneva. I remember it. I remember doing Radio Free Geneva. In that very location, the very first one. And, so we've just been doing it longer than anybody else. And that's why we don't have to, with the AC unit in the background. Yeah. Well, we've got AC running here, but sound is better these days. But that garage faced south, and in Arizona, that means it's going to get blasted by the sun. And so especially from during the summer, which in Phoenix is March to October, we had one of those window air conditioners. It wasn't a window, but it was in the wall, but it was not quiet by any stretch of the imagination. And, so you can go back and listen to that old stuff and you'll hear it. You'll hear it in there. And, yeah. So anyways, you'll never see an ad, of us spending our money to try to get people to, come out of provisionism. We're just going to keep speaking the truth. We're just going to keep demonstrating that exegetically this position is bankrupt. And, but it's just a minor thing. Not in the sense that it's an unimportant issue. But like I said, when I'm looking at putting a program together, I'm not going to sit here and go, hey, I should go see what Leighton Flowers has done recently or something like that. It pops up. If it's a teaching moment, great, fine, wonderful. Otherwise, let's not even waste our time with that kind of stuff. Here we are on this trip. And so let's use this particular trip and, the next trip. I think the next trip will be to St. Charles. I'm going to be going through Pryor again, one way or the other. We can't say anything about when yet because they're moving buildings. And so it's all either this or either in December or in January, going to be hopefully going through Pryor. And visiting with all the good folks there. And I think this spot is going to become a regular. It's on the I-40. I go right through here. It's a east-west thoroughfare. And, I love Jeffrey Johnson. I love Owen Strand. These are great guys doing a great work here. And it really seems like the Lord's blessing. Grace Bible Theological Seminary at this point in time, taking the stands that need to be taken. And so why not? Why not come through and do, I want to do a special, I'm not sure how we're going to do it, but it didn't work out to do it today, but I want to do a special thing for their students on CBGM. I think that it's time for anyone who is studying New Testament and studying textual criticism, the time is now to come to understand CBGM. There aren't a lot of people who do understand CBGM. Now's the time to start fixing that, in essence. And so let's come through here. Let's do it. This good place to park. And now that I know how to get in here, it was tricky. Oh, this was some of the toughest maneuvering I've done with the rig so far. Pushing it to the limits, turning around and doing stuff like that. But hey, I did it. Didn't break anything. And so if you did it once, you should be able to do it a second time and maybe with a little bit more alacrity and stuff like that. But you look at all the things that we're doing. I'm talking about Solus Christus tonight. Not only the centrality of Christ, but the exclusivity of Christ in salvation and in all of redemptive history. Tomorrow, I am going to be talking about Calvinism, but I was asked to talk about Calvinism because of the area, not because of provisionism, but more like Church of Christ type stuff, that kind of stuff. And then I'm going to be talking about the Trinity. At G3, my sermon is on, all the sermons are on the supremacy of Christ. And I, thankfully, when the texts were doled out, it was sitting at my computer when the email came in. So I'm like, as fast as I could, grabbed Colossians chapter 1. And so that's what I'll be preaching on Friday before Bodie Balcom and Paul Washer. They're the next two up after I preach. And, so then I'll be preaching, I think, Sunday morning down in Florida. And I'm just going to open up the text. I'm going to do this is my favorite way to preach, honestly. What I do is I will take the Greek text and I will do a live translation of either a few sections of a chapter or a whole chapter, where I will read through it, live translate, and then go through point by point and just direct interaction with the text. And a lot of folks really, really enjoy that, really find that to be helpful. Then I'm going to be talking about the reliability of the New Testament. And then I'm going to be doing something in response to Dr. Stauffer down there, who chose not to debate me. He said he was too busy, even though I'm going to be right next door. But I'm going to be responding to his material on Titus 2:13 and his accusations that I've changed my book in response to him, which was completely false. And then I think we're doing more stuff on the Trinity in Louisiana. And I'm not sure that Tom Buck and I have actually figured out what role we're going to be doing yet in Texas. We need to do that. Tom, we need to talk about that. Do you know something about the range of materials? I mean, it's fairly wide in what we are talking about. Rich says, tell people. See, when we do it this way, actually, Rich, I think, I'm not 100% certain about this, but Rich just mentioned it before he went on the air, that he thinks he can set up at G3 with two cameras. And I'm like, two cameras? And then I realized, oh, the Rich cam. I think Rich is missing the Rich cam. And so we might have a Rich cam for the G3 thing. See, so this is, signal is my best way of doing the Rich cam here. Tell people to follow the calendar on the website. Been updating it. Florida and Louisiana should be posted soon. We need to throw Texas in there as well. So we need to get on the horn with Tom. And Tom may have actually talked about something, and I'm just not remembering it. Oh, Texas is already in? Okay, there we go. All right, okay, there we go. It says Reliability New Testament. All right. And there's a pastor's lunch. And then I get to do the CBGM thing with the students and pastors there in Texas. Okay, good. See, now I know. And someone might be saying, hey, come on. How can you not know what you're going to be talking about? Do you have any idea? Any idea how many times I have done my New Testament reliability presentation? That is not to say that every single one is identical to every other one. I try not to tell the same jokes, things like that. But no, that's okay. Now Rich is complaining, which he does frequently, even when I'm on the air. Just wish I knew about Florida and Louisiana. Well, you know, some of us are busy. So, anyhow, all of that to say, there is, thankfully, add into that, the topics we covered in South Africa on this trip in regards to critical race theory and the woke church, how often I'm dealing with church history, topics like that. You need to have, balance. They're needed. And I want to present a positive message. Not just, you know, when we first started, okay, the first programs we did back on KRDS, KPXQ, all the different stations we were on, were primarily about Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, and eventually Roman Catholicism. No question about it. But even then, when I would deal with Roman Catholicism on the subject, say, of soteriology, we would have anybody who went with us, for example, to Salt Lake City for all those years to the General Conference will tell you this. They heard me say to them then that I would rather have five people with me in Salt Lake City who know what they believe and can give a positive witness to the gospel and the Christian faith as a whole than 50 people who can rip and shred Joseph Smith but have nothing positive to give in the place of that error and that falsehood. There are dozens of people who back in the 80s and 90s went with us to Salt Lake City that will testify that's exactly what I said to them multiple times because that's what's necessary. And so there has been an emphasis. I mean, Rich will tell you, what class was I teaching when Rich Pierce and I first met. Now, that was a frightening evening because he was somewhat of a frightening individual back then, wearing his maroon members-only jacket, which I hope has finally been donated to somebody someplace. Though if I ever ran into someone wearing it, I would be ashamed. But as I said, based Christian doctrines. And it wasn't the Mormonism class. I think at that time Mike had taken over the Mormonism class that I had started with. But I was doing a basic Christian theology class at a Southern Baptist church. And I very well remember a member of that church coming up to me after a class and going, I had read Romans 9 before, but I thought it was saying that, but I just figured we didn't believe that. I remember that very, very, very well. So long ago. Anyways, so balance is key. Balance is an important thing. And, it's what gives you joy. And I said last night, I'll start wrapping up with this. I said last night, I just watched a bird land on the side of a tree. Do you have any idea the math and aerodynamics involved in a bird not landing on a tree limb that's parallel to the ground, but helicoptering in? And it all just happened by random mutation. I feel sorry for secular humanists. I really do. You see, I see a bird land like that and I go, wow, God's great. Part of it's because I love hummingbirds. We have a hummingbird feeder outside of our window at home now. And watching those things defying gravity, and they're beautiful. The color, but the whole idea of a hummingbird, I think makes God smile. Really, it makes me smile. And I think there's some things that God created. I think there's some creatures. I see some pictures of some of these creatures that live down on the bottom of the ocean. And I go, okay, God must really find this funny because he knew nobody was going to be seeing this thing for a long time. A very long time. So he must think this is, hey, have you ever seen that creature? Hey, Michael, ever seen that creature? Hey, let me show you this thing down here. You're not going to believe this. Wow, that's incredible. Yeah, I think it's what it is. Anyways, I completely lost my train of thought. Thank you, bird. We need to put me in a room that doesn't have any windows in it. Because, you know, Twitter, I don't have Twitter up because I've got to be able to see what Rich is saying. But, we should close the, because there's beautiful stuff out there. And you're going, wait a minute, you've lived in the desert for way too long if you think just trees. That's so green. What kind of irrigation system do you have here? That's what desert people think. It's like, man, you're wasting a lot of water. It's really green out there. It's like, no, we don't have to do that. It actually rains here. So that's a pretty cool thing. Anyways, I think, I said last night in wrapping up, what I'm doing, because we're talking about the solas. You know how many times I've talked about the solas? I've lost track of how many times I've talked about the solas. But I have to recognize we're living in a very new context. That some people saw it coming. I didn't. I don't claim that I did. And there's a new reality around us. And we can't just keep doing the same old things we've done in the past. We believe the same things that we've believed in the past, but we have to make application of those things. And so what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to say, all right, here's sola fide, here's sola gratia. How is that relevant to Christians in China, North Korea, and possibly to us in the very near future? So I'm trying to make application, not some type of surface level, let's be relevant thing. You know, when you teach church history, you don't worry about the relevant thing. You need to be relevant. No, you need to know where you came from. And that's where the relevance comes from. But a deep recognition that if it was vital then, it's still vital now. And we have to think through our theology in light of the challenges that we will be facing as Christians in the United States. And I'll be perfectly honest with you, I would imagine most people on this feed didn't get to watch that. It got very quiet. We had a great crowd. Place was packed out. Really was very well attended. Folks from all over the area, from other states have come in for this, this conference, and it was, we only came up with it just a few weeks ago. So I was very thankful for that, but place is silent. And that was great because what that told me was people were thinking, listening, and going, yeah, we really do need to think this through. We really need to think this through. And, I will make application tonight as well. And Solus Christus is easier. But it might be a little bit more challenging because honestly, the issue here is we serve a Savior who has ascended to heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, and all authority has been given to him in heaven and earth. And I'm still working on really coming to understand what all that means because I've lived most of my life as a Christian thinking that that is just in the spiritual realm. That the heaven part, okay, and the earth part's in the future. And right now, right now it's just, if secularism says do this, you do this. So we'll see how that goes. We'll see how that goes. Okay, so my gut feeling is, and we have to, look, we have to be flexible. My gut feeling is Thursday, hopefully, live from G3, all of which, my hope is that both Rich and I's phone will have 5G signals in Atlanta. I would think that would be the case. So, hopefully, we'll be able to do a live program, and who knows who will go wander by, who knows who I may be able to talk into, cajole into, threaten. I do know a lot about certain people. Hey, you want to come on the Divine Line for 5 minutes? Because we'll talk about, you know what. That would be sort of funny. Anyways, see who can come on the program and join in with all the fun because there's going to be a lot of folks there and a lot of neat stuff going on. So, be watching that. Watch that. Make sure you download the app because that's how we'll let you know, when and how and all the rest of that kind of stuff. And that'll be coming up, later in the week. And as Rich reminds me, whenever I'm on the road, it is a good thing to remind folks because we are the world's worst marketers. All this neat, fun stuff I'm getting to do, you make it possible. That truck outside has to pull up to those weird things, and I stick that hose in there, and I'm at least thankful for one thing. Not only am I down in the South, and therefore gas is less expensive, but all across the U.S., gas is not as expensive as it was. I hit it. The first trip was bad. It's a little bit easy, a little bit better now, but it still takes your supporting us to get out here. So reminder, AOMIN.org travel fund helps to keep this kind of stuff happening. So thank you for watching the program today. I'm glad we got through it. I don't know if the video got through it, but I'm glad we got through it. And Lord willing, we'll see you from G3 in a couple days. God bless.